When I was a kid, I was the jumper in your closet that you never wore. I wasn't good enough. I looked different. I was different. I could feel it deep in my marrow. The dogs would bark at me. People would throw sticks and stones at me. And then one day, my dad saved me. My dad, of all people, to step in. My dad?
"The next time someone calls you a chink, I want you to punch him as hard as you can," he said.
So I did. His name was Daniel. And my blow knocked him on his arse. I was on him like whiskey on ice. He cried and told me to leave him alone as I paled on his face. I got up, reached a hand out. He grabbed it, blood pouring from his bugle-like nose. And then he whacked me. I burst into tears, ran all the way home, past the barking dogs, only this time they sounded like they were laughing at me. That was the last time I ever cried out due to physical pain. I was 10 years of age. No punch ever hurt after that. No headbutt ever hurt after that. And I can tell you, there were a lot. I would never teach my children to punch first and ask questions later. But my dad taught me a lesson that runs much deeper than flattening pimpled skin with my fist. You have to stand up straight with your shoulders back, son. I just did it. Right now, as I typed this, I sat up straight with my shoulders back. The feeling was palpable. I felt bigger, stronger, more energized. When I stood up to my bullies, instead of shirking away from them, my bullies shirked from me. When we become people that don't drink alcohol, the bullies come out in force. It's the only way they know to keep the cognitive dissonance at bay. When you tell people that you're someone that doesn't drink alcohol and they ridicule you in the slightest way, an aggressive way, a passive-aggressive way, I don't fucking care which way, they are bullying you. Stand up straight with your shoulders back, son. The best way to stiffen your back is to evoke a sense of pride. Be proud of who you are. Be proud of who you are. The monumental change you have made, let the pride ooze out of you. Spread that energy. Stand up straight with your shoulders back, son. If you do this, if you act like this, if you become this, a person that doesn't drink alcohol, then the bullies will move onto someone else. And that's how you deal with coming out. And that's what we talk about on today's podcast. My name is Lee Davey. I am not an alcoholic. I refuse to be anonymous. I stand up straight, tall, with my shoulders back, and I spend every waking moment helping other people to try to do the same. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Thanks for listening.
Yo, folks, Lee Davey again with another quick and rapid little podcast episode for the Alcohol Edition podcast, designed to help you become someone who doesn't drink alcohol exactly like me and a bunch of other strivers who are exactly in the same boat. And I've just been listening to Jen Cicero, You Are a Badass at Making Money. I'm still listening to that book on Audible at the moment. And she just said something that reminded me of something else that Jordan Peterson said that I'd read in his 12 Rules for Life book, which started off all right, and I liked the first chapter, which is what I'm going to talk about now. And then since then, he's kind of tapered off. I might go back to it, finish reading it. Thing is, there are so many books to read in the world that once I get stuck on one and it starts to get a little bit boring or it loses me a little bit, I prefer to just get rid of it than to persevere. Because time is precious, right? It's the same with movies. I used to have this thing where I'd watch a movie, and because I'd started it, it's like the sunk cost fallacy. I had to finish watching it. Well, I'm not like that so much anymore. If I don't like something, I'll just turn it off. House of Cards is a good example. I love the House of Cards. And then now there's no Frank. And I understand why there's no Frank. It's not the same anymore. So I just stopped watching it. Anyway, gone completely off tangent. Let's get back to where I was. So Jen Cicero, you know, she's talking about money, being a badass about making money. And it's not necessarily about the accounting side of things. It's about how you think and feel about money. And in the last part that I was listening to her, she's talking about body language, which ties into the first chapter in Jordan Peterson's 12 Rules for Life. So the first chapter is stand up tall with your shoulders back, but an erect posture. All right? Now, this is what Jen Cicero is saying as well. It's about how you give off yourself. Like, what is your demeanor that you're giving off to the world? What are you saying to the world? Not the people around you, but if you believe in such things as universal energy, what are you giving off to the energy around the world? I mean, here's the thing. When I was a kid, people used to want to take a little pot shot at me. You know, they would look at me, this little skinny little runt, small little thing that looked different than everybody else, because I was the only one that was half Chinese, and they would call me like Chinky Chinaman or Jackie Chan or whatever they used to call me. Chink, that was the one that used to fucking hurt the most. And I remember like going home crying at my old man, and my old man said, well, you've got to fucking whack them. Like, if somebody is like calling you names or posturing to, you know, try to, he didn't say this, but I think what he was saying at the time was, if they're posturing to elevate their status above you, then you've got to knock them down a peg or two, right? Which was difficult for me at the time, because these were big fuckers and I was just a little weedy boy, you know? Anyway, I just wanted to just show my dad that I was like, I always was vying to be visible in front of my dad, not invisible, you know, not somebody that needed to go to bed. Like, my dad would come home after working away, and if the kids were up, people like, get the fucking bed, you know, get out the way. And I wanted him to see me. If my dad said, punch somebody, then it didn't matter if they were big daddy, I would have to punch them. And here's the thing, right? I got battered more than I won fights when I was a kid. But once I punched somebody, then they kind of left me alone. And we all know, don't we, that bullies prey on weakness. And if a bully thinks you've got a weakness because you're small and you're runt-like, but you hit them back, then I'll just go and find somebody else to bully. Now, I'm not suggesting we should all go punching people who get on our nerves. I'm using it as an example to demonstrate how that early direction from my father about protecting myself, plus the fact that I was good at football, added to my status at that time, that allowed me to kind of walk around the schoolyard standing up straight with my shoulders back and my head held up high. And that way of being was severely tested when I moved to Wales at the age of 10, because I didn't know anybody. And then, you know, schoolyards are cutthroat business, isn't it? It's like, it's a tough environment. And I had a choice of either really standing up tall with my shoulders back in the face of everybody, because now people were calling me an English cunt as well as a Chinese cunt, right? Now, that was something new to me. So again, I had to stand up strong with my shoulders back, and unfortunately, I kind of developed that anyway as being a youngster. Where am I going with this? Well, it's very unusual for anybody to laugh or to take the piss out of my decision to be someone who doesn't drink alcohol, or my decision to be vegan. There are a few friends who I don't see in my life, and more than not, like, they've kind of drifted out from friends to acquaintances, who might make a joke every now and then, but it's generally in an environment that I'm not in anymore, which is in the pub type of thing. It's very rare, it's very unusual, all right? And that is because they know I don't take no shit. If somebody turns around and has a pop at me for being somebody who doesn't drink alcohol, and the pop is generally them trying to be a smart ass, trying to make a joke, then I won't take it. I won't take it, because it's not in my nature to take it. So, and I believe that this philosophy of standing up straight with your shoulders back is an energy thing. It's not necessarily... a physical thing, because as Liza will tell you, I've got the worst posture going. I walk around like Lurch, right? It's not a physical thing. It's a mental thing. It's an energy thing. Like, you're walking around giving off the energy that don't fuck with me, right? And not don't fuck with me in a violent sense, but don't fuck with me because I demand respect. Now, if you are somebody who is posturing or considering being somebody who doesn't drink alcohol, or you're already on that journey, or you are someone who doesn't drink alcohol and you are frightened or nervous or anxious about going to the pub with your friends or telling your friends about the decision you've made because of what they might say, then you may need to question whether or not you are quote-unquote walking around straight with your shoulders back, looking very confident. And I say again, I don't mean that in a physical sense, I mean that in a mental and psychological sense, right? Because if you go out into an environment where alcohol exists and you do not exude that confident energy, and you will end up kind of like fannying around giving your reasons why you don't drink alcohol in a very unconfident way. And that allows the door for the bullies and the piss takers to sneak in there. And once they sneak in there and give you a few low blows, it knocks your confidence even lower. And now you start to think to yourself, wow, this is dreadful. I don't want to be someone who don't drink alcohol because my status is dropping and I'm not going to be long to this tribe anymore. But if you go into this situation with a real strong energy and a real confidence about you, and then you tell people that you are someone who doesn't drink alcohol and the reasons why, like, now it's unlikely that they're going to take the piss out of you, and instead they're more likely to get interested in your decision, to ask you some questions, and now you've got somebody who's engaged in a deep, meaningful conversation, connecting with you on an issue that is important to you in life, which is what we're all seeking for, right? So how do you go from being a little wallflower to being that person in the center of the room, standing up straight with your shoulders back? Come to Strive. You do the taster. You do the intensive. You learn the philosophy of the truth about alcohol. By removing alcohol from your life, by learning that philosophy, you will gain a self-confidence and a surety about you that you've never had before. And you get angry about alcohol, okay? When the marketing machine starts to disgust you and you channel that disgust and that anger into cementing your conviction around being someone that doesn't drink alcohol, the energy you exude will be fantastic, okay? When we help you create a killer statement that you're ready to roll out whenever anybody asks you why you don't want to drink. And not just that killer statement, but the follow-up statement when they ask you why, when you tell them why you're not drinking. When they keep digging, you keep knowing what to say because you are so assured about your decision not to drink alcohol. That comes from being around like-minded people and working on the philosophy, okay? So that's what I want to say. Walk around with your standing up straight with your shoulders back, okay? My name is Lee Davey. I'm not an alcoholic. I refuse to be anonymous. I'm someone who doesn't drink alcohol. I spend every waking moment of my life helping other people do the same, as well as banging on about being more confident in life, okay? Please, please, please listen to that. It's really super important if you want to be someone who doesn't drink alcohol. Take care.
Ruth said she loved where she was just after 30 days of working on the Truth About Alcohol Taster. Sue said the Truth About Alcohol Taster was hand on heart the best decision she ever made. I have learned that alcohol has no place in my life and I am no longer alone, said Rhonda. Jennifer said the intensive helped her beyond just quitting drinking. She now leads a fuller, more awakened life. Nikki said the intensive brought a depth of awareness that has changed the way she now views the world. Talking about the intensive, Maureen said, "You will not regret taking this experience, but you will regret passing it up. Shit gets real. You are in it. And that, for me, is reason enough to dive in. The self-growth and discovery it offers is profound, as are the connections you make." Talking about Strive, Bonnie said, "The people in Strive felt like new friends with lots of wonderful support for each other." Tony said, "Strive is inclusive and supportive. There is so much empathy, understanding, and encouragement. And this is where I am not a number on a balance sheet. This is where I found home." Julian said, "I believe we are defined by the people and ideas we surround ourselves with. And so the warmth, support, and personal growth I've found at Strive make it the place I want to be, the place I have to be. You drank alone. Do not quit alone. Head to thetruthaboutalcohol.co.uk and invest in yourself today. Become someone that doesn't drink alcohol."